south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, so let's get started. Now, you might imagine with a show like mine called The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, I'd have listeners from all walks of life, from people who obviously want to get the hell out of the first world, before the next collapse, and we all know that one's coming real soon. And I also have listeners who are perpetually on the fence. Well, all I gotta say is time's running out, because sooner or later your oppressive government's gonna make it impossible for you to leave. Then what are you gonna do? Are you gonna shoulda, woulda, coulda yourself to death? I hope not, but some people just can't take that first step. Anyway, it might also surprise you that I have quite a few listeners who work for U.S. government agencies. And yes, the smart ones want to get the hell out too, and they're making their plans. Well, it doesn't surprise me, because they're the people on the inside watching how the apple rots from the inside out. Now, my wild and crazy buddy expat Eddie has a completely different take on it. He says, sure, there's probably a lot of those government guys that want to get the hell out, and that's why they listen to your show. Or, Eddie says, it just might be their job to listen to me or people like me. Since if first world citizens do the things that I advocate, then soon enough there'd be no tax revenue to support bloated, intrusive, corrupt government anymore, you know? Because when you leave the first world and escape Big Brother, you escape Big Brother taxation too now, don't you? And along with that, you get your privacy and your freedom back too. Hallelujah. And that means you no longer have to worry about those tens of thousands of privacy-restricting laws that you never even knew about. The ones that Congress and the President and the rest of those tens of thousands of lard-ass bureaucrats keep piling on your shoulders every day. And you've heard that old cliche, the best revenge is to live well. Now, expat Eddie says, the best revenge is to get the hell out, live well, on the cheap, and give Uncle Sam the bird at the same time. And you know, it's easy to give Uncle Sam the bird from a few thousand miles away. Tell those bureaucrats to shove it. And you can do that from a distance because, as we all know, Uncle Sam has long tentacles, but they do stop at international borders, if you know what I mean. What was I talking about anyway? Oh yeah, I was talking about my listening audience. Now, you may or may not have known this, but there's a lot of hardcore scientific types that listen to the expat files too. And of course, they send me a lot of emails, like this one, signed just the NASA guy. Now, I want you to pay attention to this one because it's particularly relevant to all of us. And you'll see why. I'll paraphrase, so here goes. The NASA guy starts out by saying, hi, Johnny. I'm a recent listener to your program, and thanks so much for your efforts and advice. Much appreciated. Like I said, I'm paraphrasing here again. I don't want to give away names or departments or anything like that, so I'll kind of read between the lines. Anyway, he goes on to say, the staff here at my NASA department likes to listen to you. And your audience here is huge. Who'da thunk, huh? Oh, and by the way, he's not BSing that he's a NASA guy because his email connects to a NASA.gov website, so it's legit. Anyway, he says, I have two things. First, you mentioned the portable water filters, and I wanted to pass along something that we at NASA use that never requires a replacement cartridge. It's a spin-off technology from kidney dialysis machines. It's from a company called Sawyer, S-A-W-Y-E-R, that makes very high-quality, hollow micropore portable water filters. They're top-notch and low-cost, and here's the link. www.sawyer.com. It's great protection against bacteria, protozoa, and viruses, but does not remove dissolved solids, chemicals, and heavy metals. Go ahead and check it out for yourself. So, guess what? I did check the website out thoroughly. I'm going to buy one of those damn things. Listen to this. This is at www.sawyer.com, S-A-W-Y-E-R. And you know, I come across a lot of accessories for travelers and backpackers, and I've never heard of the Sawyer company. But I tell you, you're going to be hearing a lot about these products in the future. Now, it's always a good idea to check this stuff on Amazon, too, because you probably know already, Amazon has a nice customer rating system from 1 to 5 stars. And when you're looking at these Sawyer products, they've only got a few models, and I'll tell you the one that I ordered. When I checked on Amazon, 23 of 25 customers gave it 4 or 5 stars. Now, I know in a recent past show, I talked about other water filters I like, but they all seem to have their drawbacks. But these filters by Sawyer come as close to my personal gold standard as you can get. Not to mention, they come highly recommended by the NASA guy and his pals. Now, the last water filter I recommended did a great job. It cost about 25 bucks or so, and the filter cartridge was good for 50 to 100 gallons. Great, right? For one person, that's at least a month or maybe two. So you buy one of those and you're looking at paying about 50 cents a gallon. Or as they say in my old neighborhood in Chicago, 50 cent. But these Sawyer water purifiers, now get this, I know it's extremely hard to believe, but they guarantee that the filter will last for 1 million gallons. That's right, 1 million, which actually works out to about 30 average American lifetimes. Now the question curious minds have to ask is, who in the hell is going to run 1 million gallons through one of those filters to see if that's true? I know, it's all about science, calculations, and approximations. Now, look at it this way. Even if you bought one that was a defect, and it only lasted 10% of its so-called guaranteed useful life, I could live with the fact that it only purifies 100,000 gallons. Can you? Not bad. That's 3 average American lifetimes worth of pure water. Now, the one I recommend is the Sawyer SP121 Just Drink Inline Water Filter. That's the one I ordered. The SP121 Just Drink Inline Water Filter. I looked it up on Amazon, and it's only 50 bucks. That's it. Now, that price at 50 bucks and that million-gallon guarantee should basically sell anyone on this thing. But there's more. Listen to this. Let me stop for a second. I hope I don't sound like one of those midnight TV commercials selling ab flexors or Ginzu knives or pocket circumcisers. Ah, got you there. I don't think they sell pocket circumcisers on TV, but I could be wrong. Anyway, when you buy this thing, it includes the inline water filter, plus a rubberized faucet adapter. Now, that in itself is a very cool thing. That means on any faucet in any sink, you slip on this rubber adapter, and you turn on the sink valve, and now you've got a constant flow of pure water from the filter. And by the way, you should always use the cold water side of the sink. Though in about 95% of Latin America, that's all you got is cold water at the sink. And that's just one of the ways you can use this filter as a constant pressure unit, using water pressure directly from any sink. So that means you're not just using this thing to suck water out of a bottle through a straw, like the $25 portable bottle unit that I recommended some months ago. Which is still just fine when you're on the run, but this Sawyer job seems infinitely better than almost anything else out there. Including that Katydyn $300 pump job that used to be the gold standard for portable filters until we found out about this one. And again, another disclaimer, I don't make a cent off of this stuff, so just go to the site and check it out yourself. And the company's not giving me a free one or anything, though would be nice if they did. But 50 bucks, anyone could swing that. Now, here's another thing. You can use it from a faucet, like I just mentioned, but you can also stick a straw on both ends of it and drink from a stream or from a bottle, or practically any water source that doesn't look like molten sludge. And here's another thing that's very cool. It's really easy to set this thing up as a gravity filter, too. Then you can set up a constant pure water drip into any container you like. So if you use that setup, you can rig it to produce a nice quantity of really pure water at night when you're asleep. And the flow rate is very good, especially when it's under pressure when hooked up to a faucet. Much better than one of those Katydyn pump jobs, that's for sure. And by the way, those pump jobs, no matter which brand you get, really wear your arm out in a hurry. Just try to sit down at one stretch and get to work pumping out 1 gallon as fast as you can manage to do it. It'll take you 5 or 10 minutes and your hand will hurt from trying. Believe me, I've done it. Even with that $300 Katydyn unit, it's nothing to look forward to, believe me. Oh, and by the way, the company Sawyer has a program going in Africa right now using the gravity system setup, and they're providing clean water for whole African villages now. But the question remains, how good is the filtration? How pure is the water compared to other units? Now, the data sheet included in the kit says it offers the highest level of biological filtration available, with bacteria removal rates of 99.9999%. That's 99% removal with 5 more 9s after it. And what about removing cysts, protozoa, and amoebas? And by the way, cysts usually come from fecal contamination. Yuck. Something you really have to pay attention to when you're down here in the third world. Which is why it's especially important to wash your own fruits and vegetables. You should never trust that local Latins can do it right unless you've trained them. But that's a story for another show, so stay tuned for that. So anyway, this filter removes cysts like Guardia and all protozoa to the level of 99.9999%. That's 99% with four zeros after it. And the reason why Sawyer units particularly have such good filtration, because Sawyer units have got what they call absolute 0.1 micron hollow fiber filtration membranes, which means none of the pores in the filter are bigger than 0.1 micron. All the pores are actually that size or smaller. And I've never seen another ceramic filter to make an absolute claim like that. The others just give an average or mean rating of 0.1, 0.2, or 0.5 micron, or whatever rating they happen to be. Oh, and for those of you travelers who like to suck on a bottle, the Sawyer Company has one of those personal bottle units too. And you could buy that one on Amazon for maybe $35. But why get that one when you can buy this one for $50 that does it all? You can use the straw, do gravity feed, or hit it with water pressure from any sink or faucet. And as for the size of this thing, it's only about 1¾ inches wide and about 3½ inches tall. And weighs only 3 ounces when it's dry. So the price is right and it's nearly the perfect unit. However, its main and only drawback, as our guy from NASA points out, is it doesn't remove dissolved solids, organic chemicals, and heavy metals. And he's right if you're just using that little cartridge, that Sawyer cartridge. But here's what I say. If you want to get out most of the organic and volatile stuff, the pesticides, the hormones, the chlorine, and all that junk, just go to Amazon and pick up that Katadin carbon cartridge. It's like $18 or $20. And you'll link that up directly to the outlet of your Sawyer cartridge. Then you'll dramatically reduce the chemicals that I mentioned before. And I don't know why it took me to think of that. Why didn't Sawyer think of that? Well, maybe they did. Who knows? So, there you have it. In the interest of giving you the best and cheapest method of filtering your water as up to the minute as we can, anyway, go ahead and check www.sawyer.com and you'll see what I mean. And about that million-gallon filter guarantee, you do have to back flush the unit as it gets clogged. So, you do have to do a tiny bit of maintenance on it, but no big deal. They tell you how to do it in the instruction manual. Now, of course, there is a drawback to giving you all this up-to-date information on water filters. Like me, you're going to accumulate a junk drawer full of old water filters, which will probably be right next to that old junk drawer full of cell phones. But not to worry, when the next big environmental disaster strikes, you can make a mint selling the old but functional stuff to your vastly unprepared neighbors, or you could be the neighborhood hero and give them away as gifts. But hopefully, you'll already be down here in Latin America, sucking down margaritas and watching the first world collapse on TV. Now, I want to talk a second about water pollution and water contamination down here in Latin America. Like I said in a past show, Latin America is just loaded with pure fresh water. There's a huge natural abundance of it, and there's plenty for everyone. In fact, it's been estimated that if you collected just the rainwater off the roofs of existing dwellings down here, for just 1 month of the 6-month-long rainy season, there'd be enough pure water to supply the entire population of Latin America, that's 500 million people, 4 times over, even at first world water usage rates. And down here in Latin America, the average person gets by on about 1/4 to 1/6 of the amount of water the average first world person uses per day. So basically what that means is if you collected all the rainwater from just the water that drains off the roofs of existing structures in Latin America, the entire population of Latin America, about 500 million, could blatantly and flagrantly misuse their water like we do up in the first world. And still, no one would come up short. However, that's just a fantasy, because only about 5% of all Latin American families have clean, unlimited amounts of running water like you do up in Cleveland 24/7. And the sad fact is, 99% of all the municipal tap water throughout Latin America is unfit to drink. But fully 60 to 70% of Latin Americans drink that tap water anyway, because they cannot afford to buy bottled water at 50 cents to $1 a gallon. And another thing, because Latin Americans don't read, nor do they really investigate anything on the internet, they think bottled water is absolutely pure. And we know that's all BS because down here, there's just no one checking. That's why I don't buy bottled water. I make my own. Not to mention, when water companies deliver the water in the morning, it's often left outside for hours in the burning tropical sun in those plastic containers. And we all know about plastic, water, and sunlight now, don't we? And let me read you this from the Global Policy Forum. Here's what their geologists and aquifer specialists are saying about Latin America in general. First, Mexico. It says, as a very parched country, Mexico has a minuscule potential supply of approximately 13,000 cubic feet of fresh water per person left to be utilized. The natural desert in Mexico is now merging with a spreading human-induced desert over much of Mexico. As for Mexico City and the Valley of Mexico, it was once called the Venice of the New World due to its being built upon a very large freshwater lake intersected with canals. But now, Mexico City is sinking in on itself as it drains the very last of its accessible aquifers from the now nearly dry lake bed below. It goes on to say, this is a legacy of the conquering Spanish, who used indigenous slave labor to dismantle the more sustainable water systems of the original inhabitant Indians in favor of much more primitive and wasteful Spanish and European water distribution methods. With 95% of all rivers and inland lakes polluted to intolerable levels due to poor farming practices, unregulated industrialization, and urban poverty, all which has massively and negatively affected all Latin American water resources. Then it says, virtually all Latin American cities, large and small, have highly contaminated water supplies. And then it goes on to say, in Latin American cities, over 50% of the municipal water supplies are lost through infrastructure leakage. And some cities lose 90% of their municipal water before it ever gets to the consumer through leaky, damaged pipes and delivery systems. Then it says, for example, Mexico City is using up the last big underground aquifer 80 times faster than it can be naturally replenished. And very few medium and large Latin American cities provide municipal water service 24 hours a day. In fact, it says here, giant cities like Sao Paulo, Brazil, and Buenos Aires, Argentina, have already drawn up detailed plans for a future that includes permanent water rationing. And then, addressing the problem that 95% of rivers and lakes are polluted in Latin America, it says here, throughout Latin America, rivers, streams, and lagoons, as well as water basins and aquatic habitats, are normal dump sites for garbage, mining effluents, and industrial and agricultural waste. In fact, it says the pollution in the waterways along the U.S.-Mexico border are so bad that it's referred to as a 2,000-mile love canal by geologists, scientists, and water specialists who've studied it. Now, for all you guys out there who aren't old enough to remember, look up Love Canal on the internet. It was the biggest single environmental disaster in U.S. history up to that point in time. And that was just one tiny little town. Now they're calling the waterways on the Mexican side of the U.S.-Mexican border a 2,000-mile-long love canal. So, all you guys out there who still send me emails saying, Johnny, I know you don't recommend Mexico, but what if you find a nice little guarded expat community or a town that's well off the narco drug corridor? And here's my answer to that. Some folks are always grasping at straws looking for excuses to live in Mexico. But I'm not buying it. Not only is Mexico's water supply completely drying up, the little water they have is completely and hopelessly contaminated. So go ahead, live in Mexico. Be my guest. Get married and have a couple of two-headed autistic babies while you're at it. Don't worry, healthcare's cheap down there. And of course, you know by now that I don't recommend becoming an expat in Brazil either. And I know it's a huge country and I'm generalizing quite a bit here, but listen to what these water experts say at Global Policy Forum. They say, the biggest polluter in all of Latin America is Brazil. The Latin country, ironically, with the most fresh water, has the least stringent environmental protection laws of all. And just as an aside here, all Latin countries have their own environmental protection agencies with tons of environmental rules and regulations. However, like I've said so many times before, they don't have the money, the staff, the desire, or even the vehicles to do the inspections. Not to mention, for a couple of francos, you could bribe just about anyone in government. So again, Brazil is the worst offender. They allow massive chemical and industrial pollution, including mercury dumping from gold mining operations. which is one of the reasons China is there right now buying up all those mining rights. Because, you see, they'll be able to be grandfathered in as environmental laws get tougher and tougher. Now, it turns out only parts of Eastern Europe and China exceeds Brazil's level of waterway contamination. Not to mention, 95% of Latin America's wastewater flows directly untreated back into rivers, lakes, and streams. Kind of like the states in Europe back in the 1940s and 50s. And just to give you those water usage figures again, in the United States, we use about 4,000 cubic feet of water each per year. In Europe, about 2,500. And in Latin America, the average is about 1,000 cubic feet per year, less than a quarter of the average yearly personal water usage up in the States. And of course, that 1,000 cubic feet of water that the average Latin uses is not really fit for human consumption, but more than half the people drink and cook with it anyway. Now, that begs the question, if the rivers and the streams and the lagoons and all or 95% or more of all the surface water sources are highly contaminated, what about all the fish and all the marine life living in that water? Well, let me lay this down hard and heavy. Do not, I repeat, do not eat any fish that comes from a lake or a river or a stream in any part of Latin America. The exception being, if you personally catch the fish yourself in a high elevation stream up in the mountains, for example, high up in the Andes, in a place that's far away from a city or a town. But I'm not saying you shouldn't eat any fish or seafood. Just make sure it's coming from the Atlantic, the Caribbean, or the Pacific side. Then you can be pretty sure that the fish are uncontaminated. And that's not to say the cities and towns along the Pacific, Atlantic, and Caribbean aren't dumping their feces directly into the harbor or the bay there either. Because they are. But you see, most of the fishing fleets, even the small one-man or mom-and-pop operations, go out a couple of miles or more each day for their catch. Which brings me to a subject I really don't want to bring up again, but I have to advise you guys. You remember on the last show, I spoke about Tenderfoot expat bloggers with nice websites that try to come off as the voice of authority because they've spent a few months down here and think they've got it all figured out and believe that their special little adventures deserve an audience. And Expat Eddie calls it the Tenderfoot Expat Small Penis Syndrome. Now, somebody just sent me a link to another one of these guys' blogs. A know-it-all name-dropper who spent a few days in Granada, Nicaragua. And he talks about his trip naturally, and here's what he says about the food. Granada, Nicaragua, food. Pretty good. A paradise for meat eaters. And the massive Lake Nicaragua produces a lot of fresh fish. The way I read it, a nice endorsement for the meat and fish in Nicaragua, right? But of course, what he doesn't tell you is Lake Nicaragua is one of the most polluted lakes in the world. No one should be eating any seafood or fish out of any of the lakes in Nicaragua. And that doesn't mean that people aren't fishing those lakes like crazy. It's the hunger and poverty in Nicaragua that forces locals to fish those contaminated lakes like they've been fishing them for hundreds and hundreds of years. They don't care what the scientists or the papers say. That's not going to stop them from catching them or eating them and selling them to restaurants and food chains. And in fact, one of the local Nicaraguan newspapers has an article in Spanish, of course, saying that fishermen actually paint some of the sicker-looking fish a red color, then they sell them to restaurants clandestinely. Well, listen to this. Environmental scientist Jamie Barquero says, quote, "For 82 years, we have turned Central America's largest lakes into the world's biggest toilets." And just as an aside here, in South America, the Manzana Richelieu River, which runs through the heart of Buenos Aires, Argentina, is also referred to as the largest open-pit toilet in the world, absorbing more than 325,000 tons of raw sewage each day. And remember, they call Buenos Aires the Paris of the Americas. Anyway, back to Nicaragua. That environmental scientist goes on to say, "We poison Lake Managua and Lake Nicaragua with tons of feces and garbage every day." She says, "Wastewater from 60 different chemical companies and the garbage and feces from Managua's 1.2 million people have been dumped untreated into the lake from 17 drains since 1927. That was when the Nicaraguan government ordered all sewage to be channeled into the lake. Nice, huh? Now, there are supposed to be restrictions on selling fish out of the lakes in Nicaragua, but no one seems to be enforcing it. In fact, the fish out of those lakes have residues of mercury, lead, copper, cadmium, nickel, and certain petroleum byproducts. How appetizing, huh? And it says here that, as most Nicaraguan fishermen will tell you, they and their family eat fish all the time, and they don't see anything wrong with it. Yeah, right, and the average education level of these people is about fourth grade. Meanwhile, first world environmentalists are saying that levels of mercury in heavy metal are at very high levels of contamination in all Latin American lakes, not just the ones in Nicaragua. And even if measures were taken to stop the pollution right away, it would take 50 years to clean the waterways and lakes to acceptable standards. So, as far as food in Nicaragua, well, massive Lake Nicaragua produces a lot of fresh fish. So says our Tenderfoot blogger. Yum, yum, let's go have a bite. Oh, and just to change gears a bit, I have to tell you that since I've been doing these shows and my seminars down here in Latin America, I've been getting emails here and there from people saying they're going to come down, and when they do, they want to know if they can hook up with me, basically contract me as a consultant to help them find what they're looking for, whether it's a house or an apartment or hospital plan or dentist, bank account, SA corporations, trusts, and residency. And some would like me to help them scout out business ideas or arrange long-term 24/7 nursing care for a family member. And of course, hook them up with a very trusted lawyer, accountant, or whatever. And some people have asked me to take them down personally to the Decameron Resorts to help them sign up for that unbelievable membership plan that I talked about a few shows ago. So anyway, I've been asked many times to be a personal consultant like that. And up to now, I've turned all those offers down. Anyway, tell you what I'm going to do. Just send me an email at theexpatfiles@gmail.com or johnny@expatwisdom. Then tell me when you want to come down and give me an idea of what you want to accomplish. Maybe it's buy a car or scout out desperate sellers in the real estate bubble down here. Or maybe for you it's medical tourism. Or you've got some great business idea you want to explore. And you need to get connected to the right people, but your Spanish sucks. You know, I can hook you up with pretty much anything you need. So for you guys who have sent me emails like that, send me a list of the things you want to accomplish and the dates you think you're going to come on down, and we'll hash things out a bit and see if we can work things out from there. And do remember, you can always sign up for a personal phone consultation with me by going to the link on expatwisdom.com. Now, before I close out today's show, I'd like to remind you that me and the gang at Expat Wisdom are thinking about putting together some one-day fast-track seminars specifically designed to jumpstart your prospective move to becoming an expat down here in Latin America. You know, give you a leg up. Just go to expatwisdom.com and sign up for the info or email me at seminars@expatwisdom.com. And be sure to tell me the big city that's nearest to you. And that includes all you guys who are sick of living in Europe, too. So give me a heads up, and if there are enough people interested, there's a chance that some Expat Wisdom folks will be landing in a city near you.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture. He knows.